switch. Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Ah, yes. Here we are. In some fashion, anyway. I don't know how well this will go today. I told somebody on the chat room a while ago, if I can make it for 30 seconds without coughing, I'll be doing extremely well. Glad to be back in the chair. Sorry we were out last week. It wasn't a Christmas, New Year's holiday type thing. It was the fact that Guy was just plain old sick as a dog, a little touch of pneumonia, and wasn't pleasant. I guess that's the first time I've ever had that, and I didn't care for it much. Still suffering some of the effects of it, and you know, a little bit of the congestion and all that sort of thing. But on the mend, definitely. And I am glad to be here today. There were a couple of days last week I wasn't really glad to be anywhere. I got pretty sick. But anyway, that's like twice in the last 6 months now, I think, or so, that I've been sick. And that's highly unusual for me. Very unusual for me. I can go for years and not have anything. Flu or anything like that, but there you go. There you go. Lots of the northerners come down here this time of year and bring all their flu and colds and all that stuff this time of year. Lots of it. So all you northerners, we're going to start checking you out at the border. When you come in from Georgia, we're going to stop you and make you go through a full physical and to see if you got any ailments of any kind, and if you don't, why, we'll let you on through the border. Ah, yes. We'll try and get through it okay today. If you hear a little hacking and coughing once in a while, I'll try and hit the cough button in time, but I can't promise anything. Let's see. Has anything happened since we last talked? Oh, my God. Of course, we had Christmas, and we had New Year's, and we had lots of college football games, and probably the most bizarre one of all last night, with Boise State and Oklahoma. Don't know when I've seen a wilder finish to a football game than that. What else did we have? Well, James Brown died. James Brown, an icon in the music world, most certainly. I was not a fan, but even though I don't respect, even I shouldn't say, I don't want to say it that way, even though I don't like a certain style of music or whatever, I do have great respect for people's talent. So, and the man was a terrific showman, no doubt about it. I don't like that kind of music, but you got to admit, anybody that can entertain as many people as he did, hell of a performer, just no two ways about it. What else happened? Oh, yes, there was a hanging last week. We'll talk about that just a little bit later. Somehow that got that managed to get tossed, turned into a debacle, as things always do. And President Ford. Oldest living president, 93 years old, passing away. He's probably, his body's on its way to Grand Rapids, Michigan right now. I've been up to his presidential library. It's pretty good. I've been to about, what, three of them. And it's pretty good, I got to admit. Grand Rapids is not my favorite place, but I guess it's as good as any town in Michigan. Coming from a guy from Ohio, you know what we say about Michigan. We don't give a damn for the whole state of Michigan, but that's just for the Wolverine fans. We don't mean that to you Michigan State fans or Central Michigan fans or all those folks. All right, enough about football. Enough about football. Hey, first of all, you can give us a call, 866-546-5254. We're going to kind of do one of those open mic days today because I wasn't sure if I was going to make it, and I don't have a whole lot prepared. But then again, I never have a whole lot prepared for the program. 866-546-5254. Yeah, if you can do some of the talking today, why, that'd be a good thing, that I won't have to do all of it. I'm jumping all around here. Our 3,000th death in Iraq took place, from what I understand, on Thursday. Didn't find out about it for a day or so later. 3,000. I'd like to ask the powers that be and the folks that have backed this war from the beginning and the folks who still back it. I'd like to see a big collage of 3,000, the pictures of 3,000 dead American military personnel. And on the other side, picture of one Saddam Hussein. And I'd like to know if it was worth it. I know what my answer is, but obviously there's a lot of people in this country that don't agree. Obviously we have a maniac in the White House who doesn't agree. And then we hear the right-wingers on the radio all the time now saying, hey, 3,000, we lost more than that at, several battles, past battles in the war. We've lost 3,000. So what's the big deal? You know, they always put a caveat in. Well, yes, we're really sorry they died, but, gee, that's not very many. It just infuriates me when I hear that from those folks. Absolutely infuriating. And I'm going to ask everybody today, have you broken your New Year's resolutions yet? Did you make any New Year's resolution? I did, but I'm not going to tell you what it is for a while. Not today. But I made a New Year's resolution, and I'm going to stick to it. We all say that, don't we? We don't make resolutions with the intent of breaking them, I don't think. Let's go with the phones. Here's somebody who wants to get me off the hook right away. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, this is Sarge. I thought I'd help you out some, Guy.
Okay, Sarge, take over. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
you got the control stick, buddy.
I want to tell you, I have made a New Year's resolution, but I doubt seriously I break it. My New Year's resolution is the same as my old year's resolution. I'm going to work my butt off to try and find out everything I can about what's going on with this Katrina disaster and trying to get people some help. That's my major resolution, and I guarantee you I won't break it.
And a noble one it is, a very noble one it is.
In fact, let me tell you about what we got going on, seeing how you're having to fight your little battle there. Maybe this will kill some time and also do some good. We have a situation where Head On Radio Network, Nova M Radio Network, and UnreportedNews.net are getting together, and we're taking up a collection of goods. You can find a list of goods on the site, UnreportedNews.net. There's a list of 15 things. Also, you can donate money. And on Valentine's Day, three or four trucks from Phoenix, Arizona, will be headed out to will be coming into Jackson County, Mississippi, and bringing all the donations to Jim Yancey's organization, the Jackson County Community Services Coalition, and they will be donated by the listeners of the radio networks and also my site. We are going to try and have some broadcasts from there. Don't know if we will or not, but this is a very, very needed thing, and I know there's going to probably be a truck coming out of West Virginia. We're working on that aspect now, and everybody gets a chance to be a part of this recovery.
Wow, that's a noble resolution indeed. What type of items are we looking for?
Okay, there's, like I said, there's a list. There's also a list at Head On Radio Network's front page, I believe.
Forgive me for not knowing this, because I literally, I literally got out of bed and drove over here today to the studio and sat here. So
that's understandable, Guy. I mean, you know, I'm surprised I'm still hanging around, not sick. But there's stuff as such as sheetrock, clothing, appliances like refrigerators, microwaves, just, you know, things that people can use. Of course, you want them to all be serviceable. They can be used items. So they don't have to be brand new. These people, so many of them have absolutely nothing. You can donate money. It'll help get people's electricity turned on. It'll help them get rental deposits paid and all these things. There's so much, and the prices of things have gone up so much on the coast, it's really hard to even get back on your feet the way it's set up. And there's a shortage of housing, so there'll be sheetrock up and get people houses back to where they can live in them, because there's a lot of people still that don't have their homes finished. There's people who are very sick that we can help them with their medicine. We can. There's so much to be done. It's just unbelievable how bad off it is.
Are the people living in the homes that aren't finished and stuff? That I mean, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is the mold problem. You said sheetrock. Are people living in homes that have mold?
Yes. Yes. Of course. Now, you got two different stories with Katrina. One is New Orleans, which is you know, mostly water damage, and then you've got the Mississippi coast, which is a large part. Of course, they had 32-foot storm surge there, so there's a lot of water damage there as well. But there's also a lot of wind damage.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas New Orleans escaped a lot of the wind damage, and would have escaped a lot of the damage if it hadn't been for this fool Bush. If he had taken care of the levees instead of stealing the money, New Orleans would be in a lot better shape than what it's in. But on Mississippi's coast, we would have been hit pretty bad regardless of what happened. The only way to safeguard us is to do what this fella, this professor at LSU, has, and you could do it for a cost of 1 month of Iraq. But you could safeguard the whole Gulf Coast region with the cost of 1 month of Iraq, and the plan is there. All it needs is funding, but this stupid administration will not do it. So that's something that I'm going to be working on this year too. But these people are moving into these homes. They the health hazards are so numerous that they have more people are getting sicker than ever before, and a lot of it's related to Katrina damage. It's related to the lack of response from the federal government. Haley Barber's not helping the situation because he's giving the money out to his cronies. It's just one mess after the other. And Haley Barber won't even talk now. He's gotten to where when you talk to his office, they immediately say, "We have no comment. You'll have to go to the website. We're not going to comment anymore." And I've asked them about how they decide who gets grants, and he said, "Go to the website," and hung up on me. So
well,
they don't want to talk about it.
The important thing was to get the casinos up and running, right?
Yeah, and they're doing that. But now also, I will tell you that I was really lucky, and I'm really happy that it's going to happen. But Heather Vokish is emailed me this morning and asked me if I would agree to an interview with her, and as her one of the inspirational people for the month of January. So I'm really excited about that because I'll get to tell more of what's going on down here, and I'm hoping that it'll wake up more people as to what's going on here. Because this is a mess, and there is absolutely no reason it should be going on. People just can't comprehend the damage that's being done down here. We have people dying down here, and it's all because of these jokers in Washington, that joker in Jackson by name of Haley Barbour. These people are ripping us off, and if this recovery turns into a career thing, if it keeps on going, we are going to pay out the butt as taxpayers. You might as well get used to the idea that your tax money is going to go for this type of thing over and over and over again. We've got to change it. We've got to pay attention.
Well, and moreover, even going past the taxes around the country, people, insurance, for example, insurance has been jacked
right
up out of sight. People in other parts of the country are paying for the damage in your area. They're paying for the damage that happened just north of us here. We need some help.
And like you were talking about your insurance last year, that's going to happen all over the place. You're going to pay more and more and more for your insurance premiums, and you're going to get less and less for your money.
What?
Because you look at what they're doing. You got this judge who's ruled that water damage and wind damage isn't the same thing, even though it's from a hurricane where you have both involved. So they're saying, no, that's water damage. No, that's wind damage. You know, either way they go, they got you. And this has got to stop. This is asinine. There's just no sense in it. How in the world can you make such a distinction when you have a phenomenon like a hurricane that uses both to damage the area?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Heather Wokish. She was on the show, as you know, a while back. She's going to do an interview for her site with you, Sarge, you say?
Yes. I'm really excited about that, and I'm honored that she chose me as one of the inspirational people for the month of January. That's quite an honor, but I'm really more happy about the fact that I got her interested in what's going on down here, and I'll be able to shed more light on what's going on. That's, you know, the personal thing, that's nice, but really my number one interest is the people on the Mississippi coast and Louisiana. Please don't ever think I've forgotten Louisiana, because New Orleans is my birth city, and I love New Orleans, and I want to see it. You know, I'm sick of these people saying, well, we're not doing as bad as New Orleans, or we're not going to complain like New Orleans. Bull. If you are entitled to something, raise your voice up and say it. There is nothing wrong with it. And Dave Vincent can kiss my behind, because when you sit and you suffer, when all you got to do is raise your voice and make people know that you're suffering, that is not being whiners. That is being smart.
Absolutely.
But
I
now
agree.
Dave Vincent at WLOX-TV thinks it's some kind of bad thing for the people to complain, and we're not whiners like New Orleans. Well, what does he think we're going to do, die?
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid.
I haven't heard any whining. Honestly, I haven't. I've paid close attention to that situation here. I haven't heard any outcries from anybody that weren't completely, utterly justified and absolutely understandable.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I mean, I'm knee-deep in this. Well, I'm over my head in this thing. But everybody has legitimate purposes in what they're saying. And I support these people in New Orleans. I support my people on the coast, because there are too many people down here who are suffering, and there is too much of this government bureaucracy that's killing people. I mean, when you have people dying, especially the elderly, the handicapped, they're being mistreated like there's no tomorrow down here. And it's got to change. It has got to change, because this is our people. And it even angers me that so many people right here in my town of Columbia will not get involved. And they have people living down there. Like, I have my twin sister down there, and we're less than 2 hours away, 85 miles to Gulfport. And yet, we have people down here who don't even want to talk about it. And that makes me mad, because these are our people. They're Americans. They're Mississippians. These are people who are suffering, and they have a right. They have a social contract with the government that in times like this, the government will step in and help them get on their feet, and it's not handouts. This is what we are supposed to do.
That's what government's for. That's what humanity's for. You know, it seems like in any tragedy, like the Hurricane Katrina disaster, we've got three kinds of people. We've got the people who elect to do nothing about it, that could do something. We've got the people that see an opportunity to go in and make a bunch of money off the backs of the people who are suffering. And then we've got the people like you and the others that are helping, that see it as an opportunity to help their fellow man. And it's such a shame that the people that see it as an opportunity to make a bunch of money, it's unconscionable.
One thing I want to say before I hang up is I appreciate everything that NovaM and Head On Radio Network are doing, that we're able to team up and do this project, and we're going to do some good. Also, if everyone wants to know what's going on down there, Mike Malloy has Jim Yancey scheduled to be on his show tonight. So if you will, tune in, listen to Mike, because you'll learn a little bit more, not only what's going on, but what he needs down there and what we can put on these trucks and get to Jim.
Very good. Good.
Thank you, Guy. And, hey, buddy, hope you get better, and so we can watch your Buckeyes win.
Hey, they're going to.
Okay, thank you,
buddy. Thank you, Sarge.
My Eagles.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. There's a story. There's a story right there that we ought not have to be telling right now. There's a story right there that there should be very little mention of right now, because the help should have arrived. Things should be on the mend. There should be hope and light at the end of the tunnel for everybody in that situation. Everybody. And there isn't. And we've gone, what, a year and a half almost now? And still, there are people who have received no help at all. No real help. So, Sarge calls, and I'm glad to hear from Sarge. I'm glad to hear from everybody about that. And we need to get everything right out there on the table. Things that need to be done, things that they need. We need to know about all the graft and corruption that took place. We need to know firsthand the horror of it all. A lot of people, I don't think, even understand the gravity of the situation that still exists there. But like I started to say, it's something we shouldn't be having to talk about at all now. That area should be well on its way to recovery. The people, the government, should have stepped up to the plate by now and made sure that that community of people, our brothers and sisters, should have been made well again, made whole again. And I'm ashamed of the fact, very ashamed of the fact, that we can raise millions of dollars, billions of dollars, for help overseas. And that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But we've got a lot of people struggling in this nation right now, right down on the Gulf Coast, that have it just as bad as many of the people that we've gathered hundreds of millions and billions of dollars for overseas. We need to take care of our own. And we've done a damn poor job of it. And it makes me ashamed. It really makes me ashamed when I have to hear from Sarge of how bad things still are there. This is America, after all. And if this is the country that it once was, if this is the country that it ought to be, if this is the country that thinks of itself as this shining beacon on the hill, that the Statue of Liberty, you know, I'll take your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. Folks, we've got huddled masses down on the Gulf Coast right now. And there's been so little help. So little help. It's a damn shame. It really is a damn shame. Well, we'll stop for a moment, and we'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Of all the things to focus on.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
This is First Lady Laura Bush. I have the unpleasant marital obligation to introduce the President of the United States for this new limited-time feature on weeklyradioaddress.com. It's called The Warmth of a President, and it is lovingly crafted to make George W. Bush less reviled by all Americans. This week, 9/11. Finest hour.
Every president has a defining moment. Mine was the moment we were attacked on September 11th, 2001. There are many ways one can look at the events of 9/11. One can say, as I just did, simply 9/11. One can also take a completely different approach and say, as I did previously, September 11th, 2001. One can even spell it out with words. September the 11th, 2001, or can use all numbers. You can also add the events of at the beginning or the day our country changed forever at the end. It is truly a multifaceted issue. The day started early for me because I was scheduled to speak at an elementary school to chide the children for the sad state of our public school system, which I intended to fix with both bold legislation and more pop quizzes. I sat before the attentive children and began to join in the class reading of the book, The Pet Goat. I flipped through the book to see if there were any amusing drawings of this outrageous animal, and just as I was getting to the resolution of an important plot point, an aide leaned into me and said, "Sir, America is under attack," sadly interrupting my reading. I reprimanded that aide and refused to speak to him or anyone else for several minutes, preferring to sit there and stew. What happened to the goat in the end, we may never know. Once I regained my composure, I took my time responding to the crisis at hand, because I did not want to upset the children by making any sudden movements. If America was indeed under attack, my top priority as Commander-in-Chief was to project an air of calm for these children. A distant second priority was to act immediately and decisively in a time of urgent national crisis. But the time for that would come later, after the story of the goat had been read through to the end. Eventually, someone on my staff whispered the suggestion that we ground all air traffic within the United States airspace. I concurred, and ordered that person to call Dick Cheney and have him take care of that because I was not sure how to do it. All flights were canceled except essential military missions, emergency organ donations, and the Bin Laden family, who had urgent business in Saudi Arabia to attend to. Soon thereafter, I was asked to make a statement, which I did, and in that statement I made it clear that I was in charge of the dangerous situation. I was in command of our nation's situations and statements responding.
This has been The Warmth of a President. I'm your host, Laura Bush. This inspirational recording was excerpted from the audiobook of Destined for Destiny, the unauthorized autobiography of George W. Bush, the new book that you simply must buy. I mean that, literally. It's a new law that he just signed.
In Iraq, my administration looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny.
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Yes, do that, 866-546-5254. That's not hard to remember. If I can remember it, I know you can. 866-546-5254. Have you been keeping up with the President Ford's funerals and so forth? Let me tell you what I think about Gerald Ford and all of this. First of all, he was our oldest living president. I think he was a kind man. I think he was a considerate man. I think he was a really good man who happened to make a huge mistake in pardoning Richard Nixon. That mistake did not end America's long national nightmare. That particular nightmare did, but we're in another one. And in pardoning Nixon, Ford simply made it possible for the likes of a junior Bush administration to run roughshod over the American people without any fear of consequences, like Bush is doing right now. I've always believed that if Nixon had faced prosecution over his crimes while he was president, then maybe we wouldn't have this half-cock boy king running amok today. I said it then, and I stand by what I said. Ford pardoning Nixon was a monumental mistake. And now we can see that, and we're paying for it. It doesn't take away from the fact that I do believe that Gerald Ford was a good and decent man. I believe he was a centrist. I think he did look at his country first before his party politic first. That said, I do believe that there was a deal. They talked about it a little bit today on TV, that it wasn't ever written down or stated implicitly between all the parties, Alexander Haig and everybody involved, but it was just kind of a wink and nod type thing. I heard Tweety Bird today said that he worked for Tip O'Neill for how long, and he never once got an order from him. Certain things are just understood. So I believe that there was a deal to pardon Mr. Nixon, that it was implicit in some of the things that were said back and forth. Let me make this perfectly clear. I believe there was a deal made, but I don't think it was made by Gerald Ford so that he could ascend to the presidency. I don't think that was his motive at all. I really think he had good intentions to get this whole deal all over with, to get Richard Nixon out and get the business of the United States moving once again, because we were at a stalemate. Things were, that's all they talked about, just like it was during the Clinton impeachment. And it was time to get it over with. I think it could have been done in other ways, and I do wish Nixon had been prosecuted, because little half-assed emperor boys like Junior Bush right now might be thinking twice about it running wild with the Constitution and using it as a useless rag. So, Godspeed, Gerald Ford. I do believe he's a fine man. Doesn't mean he was right on everything he did. I don't agree with a lot of things that he did. But I do believe he was honest. And those are my opinions on that now. He's, like I said, probably right now, maybe they've arrived at Grand Rapids by now, and he's going to be buried, I guess, by his presidential library there. And that's a nice area where his library is. It really is. Looking through some of the little happenstance things that happened around. Let me go on a little bit. I wonder what your thoughts about this are. I was watching the funeral today, and I think I said to my wife, "My God, this has been going on for what, 4 or 5 days now." By the time it's all over, the family. I mean, it's hard enough just for a regular funeral. Like, you know, you and I might be involved in with one of our family members or something. But with all this going on, and I believe it's a respectful thing to do, give a president a good send-off. Imagine 5 or 6 days, 4 or 5, 6 days of this, however long it's been, all the things that they had to sit through and witness, and the you know, this Capitol ceremony the other night, which was quite nice, I thought, and the National Cathedral ceremony today, and you know, he's gotten a good respectful send off. But the point I was trying to make here, and I'll get to the phone in just a second. The point I wanted to make was, it's a sad time, even though the party that this deceased is 93 years old, like Mr. Ford. They've had my wife is Greek, and they have a saying when someone gets to be a ripe old age like that they got all of their loaves of bread. And he certainly did get all of his loaves of bread and lived a good long life and a very happy life. He was a religious man. I think he had great principles. But sitting through all this, the grief that the family has, wouldn't it be somewhat tempered by the fact of this outpouring of respect by Americans and the people in Washington? I think it would be a great thing to see your loved one honored in such a way. I think the pride that you would certainly feel would certainly help temper the grief that you might feel as well, you know, at the same time. And let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Patrick. Happy New Year, man.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, I was listening to your comment about our president running wild. This new Congress, they need to rein him in and take some of his power away, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because not only did he let us down as a president, but I believe our Congress let us a little bit down too, don't you think?
You betcha.
And that needs to be done. And here's what gets me right now. I don't hear anything from Pelosi or anybody over there. They bitched and moaned about this war. Now they're talking about sending more troops, and I don't see anybody jumping up and down on the desk. It's like you don't hear anything about it. They were strong before the elections, and I hope that the Dems don't make the mistake that the Republicans made. I mean, we don't need to send more guys or gals over there. We need to bring them home.
Well, that was then. That was during the political season, and now we're looking at reality, and the reality is...
reality is lives.
Yeah, so sometimes there's not as much difference between the two parties as one might hope.
And I really dislike... I heard what Oliver North was, he was on TV, and he's saying that about talking to the troops, and they say they need more troops. They're going to spin this thing, so they throw it in the people's faces, so the people, they're going to try to make it look like the troops are asking us to send more troops, and we won't accommodate our troops. You know what I mean?
North is saying that? That's a damn lie. The new issue of Military Times just came out. And they found that only 38% of the troops over there think there should be more troops in Iraq.
I can't believe it. When my family come back last year, they said, "Hey, it was exactly what you said it was, just like Vietnam." I said, "That's right, man." I said, "It's just going to get started and started." I said, "Because the more that we send over to Iraq, the more Iran's." I said, "It's just going to escalate and escalate and escalate." And like this president doesn't care because he's already mentioned, well, it'll be for the next president to decide when they come home. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, just last year, 65% of the soldiers polled over there thought that the war was a good thing, and now it's down to 41. So
yeah, well, they see what's going on, you know.
Yes.
But I hope this Congress takes a little bit of power away from him before he blows up the whole world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, have a great New Year, man.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. The new Military Times poll is out, and this is a disaster for George W. Bush. I'm a disaster. Rank and file soldiers, they don't agree with any of this. The percentages are overwhelmingly against George W. Bush's handling of the war, overwhelmingly against sending more troops in, overwhelmingly against that we ever should have been there, that it was even worth it. Get this. Last year, in the three previous polls, 60% of the respondents identified themselves as Republicans, which is about double the population as a whole. But in this year's poll, only 46 of the military respondents said they were Republicans. Ah, where did they go, do you suppose? I don't want to hear some SOB, Oliver North, damn liar that he is, man that should have been behind bars, for lying to the American public, participating in a huge lie to the American public. I don't want to hear a guy like him out spreading lies. Obviously, he has no compunction about doing it. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. This is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I'm sorry you're sick.
Well, hey, so am I. I'm hanging on.
I thank you for dragging into the studio. That was very thoughtful of you.
Thank you. I couldn't stay away anymore.
Yeah, and because we really miss you. talking about Oliver North, my goodness. Did you know you were the one that was telling about him being escorted over there?
Oh yeah,
and the lady getting killed.
Uh huh.
Did you know they're investigating that?
Oh, are they?
It's very suspicious. It happened right after he was dropped off. You know, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
He's another one of those, like, he's like Bush. He's everywhere he goes. It's death and destruction, I think.
Oh, it follows him loud.
I think he's one of the most despicable human beings I've ever seen.
He really is. And him and Sean Hannity are great friends.
Well.
That's enough right there, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yes. There's a bunch of them. But he acts so holy, and they've had him in church like he's a big Christian. That's one reason I quit going to church, because they had people like him come, you know, representing themselves as fine Christians and all like that. Yeah.
So let me ask you, Juanita, did you make any New Year's resolutions?
I made one, but it's kind of personal. You know?
Okay, yeah, fine. I don't need to know what it is. I just need to know.
It's something I'll have to work on probably the rest of my life.
Well, hey, there's a lot of us that got things we need to work on the rest of our lives.
I have a couple of things I wanted to say about Sarge.
Yes.
You know, the first time I heard Sarge was very memorable. It was after the hurricane.
Oh, Katrina, yes.
And he called in to Mike Malloy, and I just happened to be listening. And he was telling how things were. I don't think he'd gotten his lights on yet. I think he was in the process of getting his lights on. So he's done some really great things, and he's very a good spokesman for the underdog, I believe. He says it like it is. I've been through some spots, not to that degree, but I've been through a lot of those spots, you know. And when we had those three hurricanes hit us directly here in Central Florida, you know, they were talking about how great everything worked out down here with FEMA and everything.
Yeah.
That's just not so.
No,
you know,
it certainly is not so, but it just proved one thing. Jeb Bush had a heck of a good media machine going for him.
Oh, yeah. But they had, like, you know, South Florida was not hit that year, and people down there got thousands of dollars from FEMA.
Yep.
And up here, I'll tell you my little experience with FEMA. I had all my fence down, and I live in a high-crime area. And the fence does keep a few people from wandering in your yard, but I was having that problem. So I had a big truck lined up down the street at a church, and so I went out over there, and it was young kids that they had hired, and they were just taking the information, and then they kept calling. They didn't know what they were doing, and you didn't know what they were doing, but they kept calling this number, and they kept, you know, getting busy signals. Finally, one of them got through for me and took the phone. She told me what to say, that I wanted to apply for some help, you know, thought maybe they'd hit me with my fence. And the lady said, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, at FEMA?
Mm-hmm.
It was so disorganized, and I had waited for so long, I never did go back.
Wow.
I don't know if anybody got hit, but it was so disorganized. And those kids, they didn't know either. And she said, I don't know what to do. And I said, I don't know what to tell you to do, you know. So, anyway, I just decided I was better off than most people, you know. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, and then another thing I wanted to say was, I've been wanting to ask this. It's not, doesn't really fit in, I don't suppose, but one thing I've been wondering about, Bush calls himself the war president. Why is he bragging about that? What is the significance of that? I've never understood it, why he would brag about it.
I think it's a personal thing to him. We've all known guys like him that likes to feel macho and stuff, and I think that makes him all puffed up on the inside. You know, he thinks he's a big shot, big tough guy.
Yeah.
He was proud of the fact that how many people he executed down in Florida. He was proud of the fact when he stepped off that airplane out there on the USS Lincoln, showing off that, look at me, I'm a warrior.
I would have been so embarrassed, but he has no embarrassment at all.
No. Oh, no. No, he doesn't. You're
absolutely
right.
And did you know Saddam was hung on a holy day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
But anyway, but I would like to hear about why he... about the war president. Why is that? I mean, it just, why do people fall for that?
Yeah, it wouldn't be something you'd want to brag
ashamed.
For. It wouldn't be. Yeah, it wouldn't be anything you'd want to brag about.
No, uh-uh.
But he does.
But I would like to hear more about Sarge's thing, you know, where they're going to send in, because I'd like to know how to contribute. I can contribute some cook things and all. I'm kind of down and out myself right now, but as far as money goes, but...
go over and take a look at unreportednews.net.
Okay. Unreportednews.net. Okay. Okay. And I hope you get to feeling better.
Oh, thank you.
God bless you in every way.
Thank you.
Up one side and down the other.
Thanks so much, Juanita.
Going in and going out.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, hey, let's... No, we won't take a break right now. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy?
Yes.
It's so good to have you back.
Why, hello, Alice. How are you?
And a Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you as well.
I believe that Gerald Ford's family is being very gracious because I have read that President Ford had little regard for Bush and his wars.
I think you're exactly right. The comments that he has made to who was it that interviewed him said he wouldn't reveal the interview until after the president had died. It was Bob Woodward, I believe, and he broke that about him not approving of the war and didn't think it was a good idea.
Get well and stay well, Guy.
Thank you, Alice.
We need you.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
I've got a big old package of these cold relief zinc cold drop lozenges here. Zinc gluconate glycine. Yuck. But they sure do help. With the cough, I must say. They're horrible tasting things. They got cherry in them, but. The zinc certainly overpowers the cherry. I'll take anything to keep from coughing. Well, not anything. Ah, yes. It's 3:49 right now. That's Eastern time. And we're going to pause for a quick break and be back just a moment or two.
That I'm weak, 'cause I won't back your war. You say I'm on the enemy's side, 'cause I'm not on yours. You say you fight for freedom and the right to choose, but then
then you try to silence my voice. Well, you got another thing coming to you, 'cause I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. It don't make us safe when you're on the attack. If you put your fist in someone's face, they'll knock you in the back. All the good books say it ain't right. Steal and kill. You won't take their oil and our money and drag us down the road to hell. No. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. Yes, I am. Country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free, for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you right out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. Yes, I am.
Back with you here in the Guy James Show. So far, so good. We're making it okay. Better than I expected. Thanks for all your good well wishes. You are listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We're awfully glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the conversation. And we'd love to have you join the conversation, okay? 866-546-5254. I see that 25% of Americans think Jesus will come to Earth in 07. You suppose that's true? 25%? Woo. I don't know exactly what to say about that. The Associated Press and AOL recently did a year-end poll where they asked people to make predictions on 2007. There were some interesting findings, like the fact that there are more Americans who think that the draft will be reinstated next year, 35%, than those who think we'll withdraw our forces from Iraq, 29%. More people think there'll be a draft than there are those who think that we'll be out of Iraq. Well, I can understand that. But there is one number that stands out among the rest is really absolutely unbelievable. 25% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ will return to Earth in 2007. 25%. That's pretty wild. That's a number a whole lot higher than I thought it might be. If you had asked me the answer to that question, I would have told you 2-3%, somewhere along those lines. Because even the most fundamental of the fundamentalists, even the most devout fundamentalist, don't necessarily think it's going to happen this year. But now I'm told 25% of them do. I hope they're a little off on that one. Hope they're a long ways off on that. Junior Bush's eulogy. I'm going to hold off until the next hour to talk about Saddam's, shall we say, misfortune. Did anybody see Junior's eulogy this morning? I thought it was so odd that the man didn't understand the irony of what he was saying. And the part that he said that I found that he might want to understand the irony in it. Let me quote him. In eulogizing Mr. Ford, he said, "America found a man whose character and leadership would bring calm and healing to one of the most divisive moments in our nation's history." Here's Junior Bush standing there in the most divisive moment in our nation's history, except for the Civil War, in my opinion. And he has brought no character. He has brought no leadership. And he sure as hell hasn't promoted healing in this country. He was standing up there saying that. And I thought, my God, how can this man stand up there and say that without understanding? You know, I don't think he has a realization. I don't think it hits him. Let me just put it this way. Why is it he always looks like a jerk? Do you follow that? Am I being unfair? I see him sitting someplace. You know, the other day I saw a big old video of him sitting there with his finger halfway up his nose. He's always got a dumb look on his face. Does he not have any just regular, ordinary, relaxed looks for his face? Does he not, without looking like a clown? Why is it every one of his mannerisms is just completely off the wall, bizarre, looked like a doofus sitting there? I don't enjoy talking about him that way. It's just a fact. And it's so surprising to me that his mother, his father, his brother, somebody, Karl Rove, that somebody doesn't go to him and say, "Hey, look, George, you really look like a dope in public. Can't you conduct yourself in a more respectful, more normal manner?" But no. I thought his comments were totally inappropriate, and his actions are always inappropriate. He just, I guess, doofus is the best way to put it up there. And John Roberts, our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, talking about how we're facing a constitutional crisis because the federal judges and the Supreme Court justices are literally going to the poorhouse. Now, Robert makes $213,000 a year himself. I think the regular justices make, I don't know, $215,000. He makes $8,000 or $9,000 more than the associate justices. And the federal judges all make around $165,000 a year. And while I do understand that most lawyers make a lot more than that, and he brings that up about how they're just not paid like regular lawyers, they have asked for these positions. They have willingly taken these positions at the money that was offered to them and paid to... They know what a federal judgeship pays, and they've taken the jobs. And I think it's pure BS to come along now and say, "Oh, gee, the judges are all going to the poorhouse." I think if a man really is interested in public service, if he really wants to be a Supreme Court justice or a federal judge, I think some sacrifice is in order. I don't think there ever should be a case where somebody working for the government makes the same amount or more as somebody in a private practice. I do not agree with that. The federal government should not be a gravy train for our people. It just should not be, ever. And we shouldn't allow that. But I just made me really angry today when I saw him complaining about that. Hey, doofus, don't take the job and then complain about the money. You like the idea of being the Supreme Court justice. You like this part about being the Chief Justice. And all these federal judges love it, too. Don't come along and tell us, "Oh, we don't get enough money. We only get $165,000 a year, and Supreme Court Justice only gets $213,000 a year. Oh, my, how poor we are." Poor? Get out and talk to the people that work at Walmart. Give me a break. Talk to the guy carrying out the groceries down at the grocery store. You want to see poor for a lot of people? Go talk to them. I really hate it that these people go around doing that kind of crap. Disgust me. Okay, we're going to pause for the news. We'll be back. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Don't go away.
Hi, Guy. Phil up in Daytona Beach. Happy New Year. Is it all right to hold, or should I phone back?
At the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. today, former presidents, cabinet members, and other dignitaries gathered to remember former President Gerald R. Ford. More than 3,000 people attended the invitation-only ceremony. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, NBC Newsman Tom Brokaw, and President George W. Bush all eulogized him today. The nation's 38th president was remembered as a common man who didn't have any pretensions. He was seen as a man of character who brought leadership during a difficult time in the nation's history. Tomorrow, Ford will be buried at a hillside near the presidential library in his hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan. In Baghdad today, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki ordered an investigation into how Saddam Hussein's execution was conducted. A leaked cell phone video of the former dictator's last moments revealed he was taunted by some of the witnesses to his hanging. Meanwhile, Sunni mourners around Iraq are mostly protesting Saddam Hussein's execution in peaceful demonstrations. The U.S. military announced another U.S. soldier was killed by a roadside bomb southwest of Baghdad on Monday. The BBC reports President Bush will announce his new strategy for Iraq sometime next week. It will include sending additional troops to Iraq, not to train the Iraqi troops, but to try to curb sectarian violence. Iraqi officials report that in 2006, more than 16,000 Iraqis lost their lives in violence. That figure includes civilians, police officers, and soldiers. Somalia's prime minister said today that he does not expect any more significant fighting for control of his country. He said the Islamic fighters have been driven out and scattered. Rescuers in Indonesia are still trying to find the wreckage from a missing passenger jet. The plane had 96 passengers and 6 crew members aboard when it went down during bad weather. A 140-page strategy document for a 2008 presidential run, which appears to have been prepared by Rudy Giuliani's advisors, has been made public, apparently accidentally. It outlines fundraising plans and private strategy discussions among the former New York City mayor's top advisors. A spokeswoman for Mr. Giuliani said it was a very outdated document and questioned the timing of its leak. Massachusetts Republican Governor Mitt Romney will file paperwork for a 2008 presidential run tomorrow, according to a top aide. And tens of thousands of residents in 4 Plains states are still without power today after a strong blizzard dumped close to 3 feet of snow this weekend. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A study from the Florida University says that 2 out of 5 employers fail to fulfill promises to their workers, and at least 1 out of 4 say bad things about employees to their coworkers. The study concludes that such behavior by bosses creates poor morale and high employee turnover. Air travelers to and from Mexico, Canada, and the Caribbean will need to carry a passport starting January 23rd. The new regulations are designed to counter terrorism. IndiaJet Airways announced today it will buy 10 Boeing 787 planes. The price tag for each is around $150 million. Nucor, the steel products manufacturer, will pay more than $1 billion in cash to buy out Harris Steel Group of Canada. In addition to shareholder approval, the deal would require regulatory approval from the U.S. and Canada. Housing analysts say the slump that is hurting the U.S. economy will go on through 2007. The once hot housing market is going through a serious correction, which will continue according to their forecasts. A development company and an affiliate which failed in a bid for the Hard Rock Cafe and Casino purchase have filed a lawsuit. They claim the Seminole Tribe, the successful bidder, was selected because of improper collusion and bid rigging. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $60.85 a barrel today on the New York Mercantile Exchange, and the stock markets are closed today in honor of the late President Gerald Ford. The post office has also suspended service today. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, hello there, and thanks for staying with us through the news. Did I hear that gal say that Gerald Ford was the 30th president of the United States? Oh, I don't think so. I guess even news people make mistakes now and then. Heard a lot of mistakes over the weekend. Watched a lot of TV, something I don't normally get to do. Watched a lot of football yesterday, I'll tell you that. College football is just about over, and I'm taking in as much of it as I can. That game last night at Boise State, that's one of the wildest things down at the Fiesta Bowl in Phoenix. Well, not actually Phoenix, was it Glendale? One of the wildest games I think I've ever seen. And I love college football. It's a great time of year. Although I will admit there were too many bowl games this year. Too many. There were teams in bowls this year that just didn't belong. Just weren't, you know, if you had a 6-6 year, imagine those kids over at Miami University. A bowl has always been considered like a little prize for you at the end of the year. You know, if you had a good year, you can go to a bowl game. Miami Florida University goes to Boise, Idaho for a bowl up there. They weren't too pleased. They won the game over Nevada 21-20, but kids from Miami, not crazy about going to Boise, Idaho in the wintertime, I can tell you that. Hey, you can give us a call, 866-546-5254. And speaking of phones, let's go to the phones right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. Phil up in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
How are you?
Good.
Great. I can't get over that game last night, Boise State and Oklahoma. Did you stay up for it?
Oh, I did. And, you know, to me, that was going to be one of the most interesting games in the whole bowl season because, you know, Boise State had something to prove. It was a David and Goliath story, and they wanted to prove that David belonged in the bowl game, and they certainly proved it.
They sure did. And to see the big plays be a hook and ladder,
yeah,
and a Statue of Liberty,
yeah,
for the extra point, just gave me hope again that I don't know, just made it was real feel good.
It's fun to see the little guy come up and win.
Yeah. You were saying before, go down and talk to the guy working at Walmart and all that. You know, I think people, so many of us are on the same page. It's just we need to go talk to the guy in Walmart, you know. We need to talk to each other, Guy.
Yes, we do.
You know, I listened to the Alex Jones show at noon on the other network, and he also gives statistics from polls and all, and he was saying that 84% of the people are getting to the point where our government, you know, realizing our government's full of crap, you know,
yep.
both sides of the aisle, at least at the leadership level, you know, and there's two Americas, and 70% want out of Iraq. You know, we are in the majority. 7 out of 10 people are on the same page. It's just we're not talking to each other.
Yeah, and we've got an overwhelming majority on that. And yet, are we going to get our way? I don't think so.
We can, though, if enough. I mean, Harry Reid came out and said, "Oh yeah, I'll support sending more troops to Iraq," and the phones rang off the hook, and he backpedaled the next day. So that was proof to me that we really can make a difference.
That's right.
And we have more power than we give ourselves credit for.
Well, we do, and you're absolutely right. The secret to it is organizing. And
it begins right with us. Yes. I mean, you know, Guy, I just interrupt you. I'm sorry, but if a person with a computer and a printer can invest $3 in a ream of paper, 500 sheets of paper, you know, and just print out something, you know, whether it be some kind of, even the mission statement from the Horn's website, okay? Or like what we did for the 3,000 dead, we printed out the petition, which has 10 slots and an address where to move it in. You know, we did our vigil last night in Daytona Beach. And when I was going around with this pamphlet in the public shopping centers and all that, you hit them on the run. You know, you have the thing rolled up and say, support the troops. Support the troops, they take it, you move on, you know, and let them read it later. You know, there's things that we can do, and I think a piece of paper like that, you know, hit and run, you know, give an hour or two in a, you know, shopping center, and it takes a little courage, but, you know, maybe have a partner with you, you know, and then it's you split the anxiety between the two, and it's not as difficult when you got someone with you. We have to engage our fellows.
Yes, we do. I agree. It's time. It's time. The time is here.
Yes.
We're down to zero hour here.
Our thing was when we put up our flyer for our event, you know, what we did to ask, what we ask is it's time we do more to support our troops than keep them in our thoughts and prayers. We have to do more.
That's right.
We have to, you know, and all it takes is somebody to say that, and the other person does feel that way, and it just takes somebody to say it, you know, and get the conversation going.
I completely agree. I completely agree. Hey, thanks for the call, Phil. I got to move on.
Guy,
got a whole board full here. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye now. And let's head over here to line number one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, dear friend. Good to hear you back.
Hi, Dave.
I guess you had a few bad days, but you sound like you've gotten through it pretty good.
Hey, it's going okay today so far.
Well, I learned another profound insight that I can share with you.
Please do.
There are three types of people in this world. There are those who are good at math, and there are those who are not. That was it.
All right. That's pretty good. I like that.
A few days ago, all over the Internet, was all the different peace groups and whatnot were setting aside Wednesday morning is the day that we who care, we who are fed up, are supposed to show up at our congressman's field office and let them know with signs, with petitions, whatever, what we expect of this new Congress. And would you believe that over the last few days, it's all completely disappeared from the Internet? You could never find that there was any such thing happening this Wednesday. So I thought I'd call some shows and try to get it out as much as I can.
Well, you know, that's kind of typical of the Internet. It kind of is, and I'm sorry about that there are a lot of people that talk a good game but won't get out and play a good game.
I don't think it's them. I'm convinced, Guy, this is our Patriot Act at work. They just don't like to have big mobs at the congressman's office. They want it to look like very few people really would like to get rid of voting machines and impeach the president or investigate. No. So they do that. They just go on the Internet and remove the stuff. I'm talking from personal experience. I know it sounds crazy, but... Well, anyway.
I wish we could get it. You know, back during Vietnam, it wasn't that difficult to get a good big march going, a sit-in, whatever. There were a lot of great protests at that time. And I so clearly remember how the people organizing the marches and the protests and so forth were so heavily vilified by the government and by the people on the right. And yet they hung in there. And I thoroughly believe that if we hadn't had the great participation we had from Lunch Bucket Joe out here in the country protesting, that war probably still be going on.
Well, I sincerely hope that we will be able to somehow or another make this Congress. They so much want to look the other way and whistle a happy tune, but they've got to see the reality of what we're up against.
They sure do.
You and I, and most of the listeners see it. And I know you got a full board, so I won't tie you up there.
Thank you, Dave.
Try to make that known as much as possible.
We shall.
Wednesday morning, tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Congressman's office.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Bye now. Do that. Not that hard to get a hold of your local congressman. Head on down to his local field office. We've got one right here in town. I know our congressman won't be there. But, hell, he's never there. We've got this Cornelius McGillicuddy, better known as Connie Mack Jr. or the second or whatever he is. He lives over on the west or east coast of Florida, and our district, you know, takes in part of us here. He's my congressman, and hell, I've never seen him around here. You never hear of him being around here, never. Huh. All right, hey, let's go back to the phone. Let's go over to line two here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Michelle out here in Southern California, close to Long Beach. I was listening to your last hour when you were talking about the Supreme Court and the justice suggesting that they need a pay raise. And when I heard that this morning on the radio earlier, I was just, like you, disgusted with such a... he mentioned something about the wage increase of judges has an increase for 30 years or something like that. But anyway, the point is that I agree. That was just totally arrogant of the man, but obviously he seems like, you know, the way he presents himself, that he's arrogant.
He's an arrogant man who was put in office by the king of arrogant men.
You know, it's funny. I used to call it, what was it? You know, you meet some people that falsified egos.
It's
like, where did you get that ego? What's your justification for it?
Right.
But, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine and about pay for government officials, especially federal government officials. And, you know, they have good insurance. They have good retirement. I really think that, you know, what would be beneficial to if you truly wanted to work in government, you should live in public housing. You should know that you're going to work for the people, not for your profit. And if you're going to be a judge, like you said, I mean, you get the job, you can't go in there. You knew what you were getting into, but the audacity of these people in Washington, I think in the Congress, and the Washington White House, and their lack of attention to the struggle of the American people, of the citizenry. I think it was Dave, I could hardly hear, but I've heard him before, called in, you know, it's about people not, you know, you get these movements going. Well, there are people out there trying to make a movement, trying to get awareness, but, you know, it's hard to do when you don't have a media that supports you, so you don't see a lot of what's going on. And but someday everyone's going to feel the struggle, as we heard in the news, you know, the housing market.
Oh, yeah.
Really, I think when people feel it more and more, and this year, I was telling my husband, I'm afraid this year is going to be the big hammer, you know, where everybody really feels the impact of what's been building in our economic weakness.
I completely agree. I think
so. I agree with you. This judge to come out And I just don't see him as a Supreme Court judge anyway. But
no.
I see him as a Bush flunky. But, you know, for him to come out right now and make such a statement, and Sarge, you know, here he fights so much for those people in the South that were affected by Katrina, and even those that are still being affected by the lack of our government stepping in and others stepping in to help them. I mean, how arrogant.
It is. Hey, what do you say for the House and the Senate? Let's build a big apartment building in Washington. Put 535 apartments in it, 435
that's
for
right.
the House and 100 for the Senators, and say, hey, folks, this is where you're going to live.
That's right.
Yeah, and we'll make it easy for you. We'll put a cafeteria downstairs.
That's right.
A cafeteria. Oh, I could never eat in a cafeteria.
And, hey, it can be, what is it, the FDA, you know, the whole food pyramid, you know. They can
yes.
have wonderful food, ketchup, you know.
Yes,
ketchup.
Oh,
yeah, Guy, I get amazed with some of the statements that come out of there. But, yeah, I truly believe if you're going to serve the citizenry, then you don't. You go in to serve them. It's like a sacrifice, and that's what the respect is held there for. And you know, but I don't respect. There's a few that I respect, but.
But you know, I at the end of this month, I'm going to be talking to some of them, and I don't care if they're listening, but they're not. But if they were, then I'll say it. You just get the feeling from almost all of them. Almost, I can only think of one. But Dennis Kucinich, who I've sat at the table two or three times with Dennis and sit and just had a good old conversation, and he wasn't sitting here thinking, by God, I'm a lot better than you are, buddy, don't you take my time because I'm Mr. Important. The rest of them, every time you sit with them, that's exactly the feeling you get. I'm a king, and you're a serf, so I'll shake your little hand and get out of my way. That's just the way they are.
You know, I met Dennis also, and I met his wife, Elizabeth.
Oh, she's
a right.
doll.
They're just, oh, gosh, just wonderful people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, believe it or not, who was it? She's out here in California, African-American. She's, I just forgot her name, but I met her. It's pointless if I just forgot her name. But there's a few people, like Barbara Boxer I've met, and she wasn't arrogant. And John Conyers I'm really impressed with. Feingold, he pushes the progressive. But, you know, it is really coming down to the fact that, the one thing I wanted to say is we all, when they get back, you know, we really need to send them a note. You know, let the judges suffer in their small payments of over $100,000 a year. For, you know, but you know, it's just funny that how we don't see the representation, like you said, of truly someone out there speaking for the people. And Kucinich, yeah, he always has. I mean, he was the only one that went to Lebanon, I believe.
Yeah, Dennis is just, you know, they can talk about Dennis Kucinich in a disparaging way all they want to. He's a small man. He's short. He's not Tom Cruise. His wife is just as sweet and nice and common as you. And so is Dennis.
Yep.
You know, he came from Cleveland, and you know, he remembers his roots and. You know, you can sit down and talk about him with him about anything. I have to admit, the most arrogant man that I've ever met in my life, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners will say, oh, well, yeah, you've said that before. The most arrogant man I personally have ever met in my life is Joe Biden.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I've never met him, but that's exactly what I get from that man.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
Oh,
go away, boy. You bother me. That's just that's the attitude you get from him. He's amazing. Yeah. He's the most arrogant man I've ever met in my life.
Well, Guy, I know you've got other people, but...
Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Now, did you make a New Year's resolution this year?
Oh, gosh. I kind of did.
Kind of did?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound very resolute to me.
It's one of those, you know, it's one of those very difficult ones.
Okay.
I'm one of those bad habiters, and I smoke, and so it's like, this is the year for me. I need to, I promised my daughter at 40, and I'm now 43. Okay, obviously I broke the promise, but yeah, I'd like to take care of myself. And another resolution, I'm fighting for health care for all out in California.
Yeah.
As a smoker, I'm fine. Yeah.
Well, I hope you can do that. I must tell you, I was the dumbest smoker that ever lived. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show or not, but I really didn't start smoking until I was like, 35, 36. Now,
uh-huh.
Yeah, and I smoked for, 15 years, and had a heart attack. And my cardiologist said, you know, you really need to quit smoking. And I didn't. And I went back one day for a visit, and he looks in my shirt pocket, and he says, what is that in your shirt pocket? Doc, it's some cigarettes. He said, tell you what, don't come back in this office anymore. I won't treat you anymore. I don't want to see you again.
Yeah.
I told you that you have to quit smoking. And I said, well, okay, so what if I don't quit smoking? He says, you're going to die. Oh. And, I quit smoking immediately.
Well, I give kudos to anyone that does because, for one thing, I try to tell people we need to show compassion and quit being judgmental of one another. It's compassion that will help people along the roads of their struggles, you know. But,
yep.
And that is really, you know, I have to have compassion for myself and try to get through this, and I will. And thank you for the good luck.
Well, I hope you can do it because, and I know you can do it because I know it can be done. And let me just explain to you. I haven't smoked now for, 10, 11, 12 years or so. And I'll have to admit to you, every once in a while, like every 6 months or so, I'll see somebody smoking in a certain setting or something, and I'll say,
yeah.
Boy, that would be nice to have a cigarette. Yeah. But I've never done it.
Well, good.
You can do it.
I thank you for the advice, and I keep all advice I take it to heart because it really is kind of like, you know, it's like you need to have that. To know that you can accomplish like
well, there's people. there's some things that you don't realize that you will realize after you quit smoking. First of all, except if you've had pneumonia for the past week. First of all, most of the time after you've quit for a while, yeah, you can take a real deep breath without, and you won't be coughing at all. And here's the big thing, I go to my neighbor's house and he's a smoker,
mm-hmm.
and when I come back home. I smell my clothes, and I remember the first time I noticed that. I said to my wife, I said, honey, let me ask you something. Did I smell like that? And she said, oh, yeah. I thought, oh, gee, no.
Yeah, there's an awareness, I think, of a lot of things that you've been cutting yourself short on when you finally quit.
Yeah, so. You don't have to wash your car windows on the inside so much. When you take a picture off the wall, you don't see a big ring around it.
Yeah. When you wash the wall because you spilt something on it, you don't have to wash the whole wall.
Yeah.
Room, you know, yeah. All right, Guy. Well, you have a happy new year.
Well, I hope you do as well. And good luck with that and keep me posted.
Oh, yeah, I'll call you again.
All righty.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it is a tough thing. It is a tough thing, quitting smoking. Doggone. I tried that, I took that Nicorette gum, and I think I probably told you folks before, I chewed it for, a week, and it was so god-awful, I finally just went, ugh, can't take this stuff anymore, and just quit altogether, so... Oh, well. Hey, going to take a short break right now. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is First Lady Laura Bush. I have the unpleasant marital obligation to introduce the President of the United States for this new limited-time feature on weeklyradioaddress.com. It's called The Warmth of a President, and it is lovingly crafted to make George W. Bush less reviled by all Americans.
This week, meeting Jesus.
It happened right there in the Bible study meeting. I looked up from a conversation I was having with some of the other men, and there he was, standing there, on the other side of the crowded room, smiling at me. Our eyes locked, and it was an instant, unbreakable connection. I felt my heart skip a beat, as they say. I examined him closely. He wore a tattered, rag-like robe. His skin was a slightly darker hue, like that of an East Indian or mulatto, and he had a face like that of the movie star Mel Gibson, but more Jewishy. He tucked his flowing, golden brown hair behind his ear as he knelt down to help an injured lamb. At first, I was surprised that there was a wounded farm animal in the hotel conference room, but I was touched and filled with great rejoicing when he touched that lamb with his magical healing energy to mend the creature's broken leg. The goat ran free into a field of flowers. Jesus then stood and walked over to me and said, "Give all that you have to the poor and follow me." I got a good chuckle out of this comment and looked behind me to see if he was addressing someone else. As he stood there staring intently at me, my second thought was to call hotel security. See, I did not know in those days if Jews were permitted in the Houston Hyatt. But Jesus had a soothing quality about him, which made me forget about the laws of men. Was this a vision I was having? Perhaps I had had too much to drink, I wondered.
From the audiobook edition of Destined for Destiny, the unauthorized autobiography of George W. Bush. I'm your host, First Lady Laura Bush. Thank you for listening.
Wow, you ought to see the band that plays on the chat room over that. I don't know how you people do that. How do you make all those little figures on the chat room on there? It looks so cool. ELO does it on there. We've got people playing a guitar and drums and I don't know what all, a singer. It's wild. And then all these other people, Texas Betsy's got dancers everywhere. I don't know how to do that. I feel left out. I really do. So since we're telling jokes today, I like Dave's joke. Here we go. Cynthia Crace from Pittsburgh. Thank you, Cynthia, for sending this. She said, I couldn't resist. Here's a joke similar to Dave's. Dave's, you know, there's three kinds of people. in the world, those who understand math and those who don't. I love that. I love simple, easy jokes. Like a horse walked into a bar. The bartender said, "Why the long face?" Cynthia sends this. There are 10 kinds of people in the world. Those who understand binary and those who don't. I love it. And thanks for the email from, I'll get to that in a second. Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Suzanne O'Sullivan sends this. Suzanne, thank you. Good. She sends me jokes once in a while, and I do like it. Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and George W. Bush went to a fitness spa for some fun. After a stimulating, healthy lunch, all three decided to visit the men's room, and they found a strange-looking gent sitting at the entrance. He said, "Welcome to the gentleman's room. Be sure and check out our newest feature, a mirror, that if you look into it and say something truthful, you will be rewarded with your wish. But be warned, if you say something false, you will be sucked into the mirror to live in a void of nothingness for all eternity." The three men quickly entered, and upon finding the mirror, Bill Clinton stepped up and said, "I think I'm the most intelligent of us three." And he suddenly found the keys to a brand new Bentley in his hands. Well, this is going well so far. Al Gore stepped up and said, "I think I'm the most aware of the environment problems of us three." And in an instant, he was surrounded by a pile of money to fund his next presidential campaign. Excited over the possibility of having a wish come true, George W. Bush looked into the mirror and said, "I think," and was promptly sucked into the mirror. Thank you. Thanks for sending that, Suzanne. That's good. I like that. Regarding our comments we made about the federal judges, and it is a sore spot with a lot of people. Chuck Roberts sends this. The poorest federal judge makes more than 15 times than a person making the minimum wage. The Republicans fight at any attempt to raise the minimum wage, which would tell me they think that wage is acceptable. Surely a person making 15 times that amount couldn't be in need of a raise, could they? Also, you have to remember, a federal judge is appointed for life. That's job security that virtually no other American has. And, you know, Chuck brings up a good point with that, that job security for life. All the benefits go with it as well. Tremendous retirement program, tremendous insurance program. And I must admit, while watching the President Ford ceremony at the Capitol building, when was it, Saturday? What day did they bring him to Capitol? Friday? Saturday? I forget. Saturday, I think it was, in the evening. During the ceremony there in the rotunda, a gentleman passed out or something, and you wouldn't think something like this would be a burr under my saddle at a time like that. But he said, you know, well, I think Chris Matthews is the one who said, "Well, don't worry. We got the best medical." He was a former congressman. He said, "We got the best medical facilities in the world here in Washington, D.C." And I said, damn it. Damn it. If you're the president, a congressman, if you're big shot in Washington, D.C., you get the finest medical care in the world. Doesn't cost you a dime. Doesn't cost you a dime. I tell you, we've had a family crisis in our family over insurance recently. It's not a nice thing. Not a nice thing when you know, an employer says we're not going to pay insurance anymore, and you know, you've been paying half of it all along, and then they come along and tell you, well, you can join this COBRA thing until, you know, until such time as you find other insurance. I don't know all the workings of it yet, but then they tell you that your premiums are about $1,000 a month. Who can afford $1,000 a month? Well, a federal judge can. That's, of course, he doesn't have to pay for his insurance. So, yeah, $1,000 a month. And it's the way they put it to you. Well, hey, it's only $1,000 a month. What's more important to you, $1,000 to health? Well, listen, fella. Here's the deal. Don't have $1,000 a month, you see. When you talked to us about the new home insurance going up, you said, well, that's only $500 a month. Okay. And then they talked about the utilities going up, and that's only about $125 a month. Okay. And your health insurance, that's going to be another grand a month. Where do you get this money? And I can hear all the Republicans now. Why, you get out and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and work just like we did. By God, that's how I got my $100 zillion. I watched that Barrett Jackson auction. I love cars. Barrett Jackson auction on over the weekend, a rare and collectible cars, and people paying $4 million, $2.8 million, $1,250,000, $500,000, just common, sitting there bidding on, you know, old cars, cars I'd love to have. And you realize, you see one or two of these guys just bidding all the time, and they just wanted those cars for some fun, until you realize one of them spent $5 or $6 million just on, hey, I'd just like to have that. Don't know what that's like, do you? No. Oh, and speaking of that, as long as we're being very depressing here, I have a way of doing that, and I don't mean to. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of the websites on the Internet, the Democratic Underground, and lots of them, have fund drives several times a year, once, twice, four times a year. Doesn't matter. Some of them have more than that. We need to do that for the Guy James Show. We're in a position here right now where the piggy bank is empty, and it's a matter of some urgency, I might say. So I hope you'll remember that. Tell your friends and neighbors that the Guy James Show could certainly use some help right now. We have a place you can do that on our website, and we certainly do hope you'll do it if you can. I know times are tough right now. We've lost some of our good sponsors, not sponsors really, but people that subscribed and give money to the show every month, because, you know, they got the same story to tell I just told you. The insurance is going up, and this is going up, and that's going up, and it's a difficult situation, and I understand that. But we certainly could use your help right now. And if you go to Guy James, theguyjamesshow.com, why, help us out there if you can. We hope you will. It's rather urgent. Oh, where are we here? We were going to talk about the hanging today. Let's do that. I'm sure most of you have seen it by now. Have you? The filming of the hanging. Didn't that Saddam hanging look kind of one of those beheading videos that we've seen? A gang of hooded thugs taunting a guy about to be hanged, yelling their allegiance to al-Sadr, dressed in leather jackets. Another huge, huge mistake by this inept administration to allow such a thing to happen. Now, don't misunderstand me. Saddam Hussein is a bad guy. But two rights don't make a wrong, or two wrongs don't make a right here. Let me get that right. Terrible man. I don't believe in the death penalty. But if I were to believe in the death penalty, and if it's going to go along with the execution of a man, my God, are we not a civilized nation, and can't we make sure that it's done in a civil, at least respectful manner? Instead of allowing that thing to turn into what it turned into, it was disgusting. You know, you've all seen the video. A lot of you have by now. Video of the execution was released without sound, and it was a cell phone video that's been all over the internet a couple of days now. And here's Saddam Hussein offering prayers, and the guards shout praise for al-Sadr. They chant Muqtada, 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 and Hussein is smiling. Is this how you show your bravery as men? He asks these people. One of them yells at him, straight to hell. And Hussein says, is this the bravery of Arabs? And there's somebody out in the crowd there that's witnessing the thing, says, please, I'm begging you not to taunt him. The man is being executed. And another man yelled, long live Mohammed Bekir Sadr. You know, and the taunts continued, and the trapdoor dropped shortly after 6 a.m. And they danced around his body, chanting celebratory slogans. You know, it's hard to feel sorry for Saddam Hussein, But once again, I feel sorry for our nation looking bad. We didn't, if that was going to be done, we didn't see that it was done in a legal, orderly manner. It was a spectacle. And I must admit, if that is the democracy that we are helping to flourish in Iraq, if that's the kind of action that, if that's what we've taught them, or if that's all the farther we've gotten in getting them to run their government right, then let's leave. Let's leave right now. Let's leave tomorrow. Because if a society cannot carry out even an execution any better than they did with that, as a vengeful, mean, nasty occurrence that it was, they don't deserve our help. That whole country is in the hands of dangerous radicals now, people just after vengeance. And we've helped it all along. And I think this thing is going to help it even more. But it was a bad scene, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I was disgusted by it. It just was a gang of thugs. That's all it was. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd like to hear from you. How many of you heard about this story about George Bush? Not George Bush, actually, but the Bush administration and this. Silly confrontation taking place in the Grand Canyon right now. A knowledgeable geologist would say that the canyon itself was formed within the last 5 or 6 million years. And I don't know about you, but I believe in science. I love to have proof put in front of my face. And there most certainly is more than enough proof to prove that the Earth is at least 5 or 6 million years old. At least. The canyon, the Earth's a lot older than that. But there's all the evidence they need to prove that the Grand Canyon was formed in the last 5 to 6 million years. And that's, by geological standards, that's pretty young. But here's the kicker. That's far too old for those who think Jesus' life was similar to a Flintstone cartoon. Of course, anyone who watches the Colbert Report knows that the facts are not to be trusted. And when it comes to geology, such accepted information is downright offensive to Bush administration appointees at the Grand Canyon National Park. Here's what they had to say. In order to avoid offending religious fundamentalists, this is a preposterous statement, our National Park Service is under orders to suspend its belief in geology. Let me repeat that. This is from officials at the Grand Canyon National Park. In order to avoid offending religious fundamentalists, our National Park Service is under orders to suspend its belief in geology, stated Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility Executive Director Jeff Rook. The denial of reality is extended far beyond the personal beliefs of park officials, affecting all of the employees and the visitors. Employees of the park are not permitted to give an official estimate of the canyon's geological age and are instead required to reply with no comment if asked about the age of the Grand Canyon by a visitor. A pamphlet providing guidance for staff in making distinctions between science and religion when speaking to park visitors about geological issues has also been suppressed since 2002 by Bush appointees. And if that weren't idiotic enough, a book claiming the Grand Canyon was created by Noah's flood rather than geological forces has been on sale at the park now for over 3 years. Records show that during that year that book was allowed to be sold there, when it started to be sold, the Grand Canyon officials rejected 22 books and items from the bookstore while approving the sale of this one creationist book. My God, that is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Selling a book at the Grand Canyon saying it was created by Noah's flood rather than geological forces. We know the age of the Grand Canyon down to a few thousand years. But nobody in the Bush administration wants to admit it because we'll offend fundamentalist Christians. When I read this story, I thought, I must be reading this wrong. This can't be right. Certainly nobody's that naive, that stupid. But, you know, I guess from time to time I get, I believe people just a little bit too much, I guess. What a shame. What a shame. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment or two.
Peter said to Paul, you know all those words we wrote are just the rules of the game, and the rules are the first to go. But now talking to God is Laurel begging Hardy for a gun. I got a girl in the war, man, I wonder what it is we've done. Said to Petey, you gotta rock yourself a little harder. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon and your feet are on fire. But I got a girl in the war, Paul, the only thing I know to do. Turn up the music and pray that she makes it. Cause the keys to the kingdom got locked inside the kingdom. And the angels fly around in there, but we can't see them. I got a girl in the war, Paul, I know that they can hear me yell. If they can't find a way to help her, they can go to hell. If they can't find a way to help her, they can go to hell. Yourself a little harder. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon and your feet are on fire. But I got a girl in the war, Paul, her eyes are like champagne. They sparkle bubble over in the morning, all you got is rain. Sparkle bubble over, and in the morning all you got is rain. Sparkle bubble over, and in the morning all you got is rain.
back with you. Oh, my. Just looking up at the clock, we only got about a little over 5 minutes left in the show, but time for you to give us a call if you like, 866-546-5254. And if you're a right-wing radical, if you dare, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Still see cars running around where I live here with Bush Cheney stickers on them. Where did I read the other day? A psychological study by psychiatrist. Which study was this? I hate to give things without sources, but I will go ahead with this one. I'll hunt up the source for later. So they found that the more psychologically disturbed that people were, the more apt they were to be a Republican for George W. Bush. Now, that doesn't surprise you, but it's just, you know, it's odd to hear it from a professional that the more psychologically whacked out you are, the more likely you are to be a right-wing Republican. I guess that surprises no one. Some of the most crazy people I know. Well, you know, you stop and take a look. Take a look at that Mike Gallagher, that right-wing radio guy, Mike Gallagher. Limbaugh. Now, there's a guy right there that a good psychiatrist could have a field day with. That man lives in bizarro world. What else? Who else? Well, I think Sean Hannity's living in a fantasy world as well. He still sticks to it. He's still sticking to the war. Him and his good buddy Ollie North, still all for the war, still for sending more troops in, getting more people slaughtered, because after all, this 3,000 is just a few compared to the broad picture of things. And, you know, and there's a lot of people around here. This is a hardcore right-wing area where I live, and you see those bumper stickers all the time with Bush Cheney 04 and Bush on them. Makes you wonder. I always try and get as far away from those cars as I can, because I know there's a lunatic driving them. You'd have to be a lunatic to still have that. But as we know, there's approximately, 31% of people left to still think George's doing a good job over there in Iraq. And chomping at the bit for George to send some more troops in there so we can kick them Iraqis' ass. Because we got to have a victory, by God, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to get us a victory. There isn't anybody that knows what a victory is. Actually, between you and me, a victory to a lot of these right-wing Republicans would be to kill everybody in Iraq. That would be a victory. And then go into Iran and kill everybody in Iran as well. And then the Palestinians, and then, you know, just Syria. Let's just kill them all. That is the wet dream of your average right-wing Republican. Kill everybody over there that doesn't agree with us. Think I'm kidding? Go visit the Freepers once. FreeRepublic.com if you think I'm kidding. And a lot of these little green footballs and these right-wing websites. And that is. That's what victory is to them. Let's just kill them all. You've heard it one time after another. You've heard the Hannitys. You've heard the Limbaughs all encouraging this president to send more troops in there. Already vilifying everybody who says that we should not do that. And we have good inside reports now that they're going to have a hard time getting over 12 Republican senators to back putting in more troops. It's going to be interesting to see what comes up. We may well have a constitutional crisis facing us very shortly. It appears that, sometime next week they're saying that Bush is going to announce his decision. The decider has decided. It's going to be more troops, folks. It's going to be more troops. It's going to be more death to Americans. It's going to be more dead Iraqis. More of the same. But it's not to stay the course. It's doing the same thing, but it's not staying the course. That's God. God help us. Well, made it through this day, and I'm thankful for that. Didn't think the old voice would last. I learned something. If you take one of these lozenges about every 15 minutes, you can avoid coughing. So we'll go out and have a coughing fit right now. Hey, thanks for being with us here on the Guy James Show today. I really appreciate your listenership. I hope you will think about giving us some help with the program at Guy James at the Guy James Show at theguyjamesshow.com. Period. You listen to the Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right, now all that's left is the truth.